into the depths of a relationship with Him. God wants us to grow. God wants us to mature. Amen? And I want to push you. Right? Today I want to talk about going higher. Last week we talked about going deeper. This week we're going to talk about going higher, right? So to do that, I want us to go in the construction business. Anybody here in the construction business? Hallelujah. Yeah, a few of us. Well, yeah, this will fit in with your lifestyle, okay? As an amateur, amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, we're going to begin with verse number 1. Holler when you're there. Amen. Okay, starting with verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Amen. Amen. I want you to listen to this message with high expectations. I want your mind to be in a state of anticipation. God, you have something for me. I want it today. And let's believe that God Almighty is in our midst, working, trying to do a work in each one of us, willing to do a work in each one of us. And it's my intent, folks, to push you, to drive you, to motivate you, to exercise your faith. To exercise your faith. Now, to exercise simply means to use. To use. If we don't use our physical bodies, we will become slow, we will become fat, we'll become lazy in the natural sense. If we do not exercise our spiritual man by using our faith, then we can become weak. We can become ineffective as Christians. Are you with me? So keep in mind to exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Amen. You can tell David and Marcos, they exercise. Right? All right? That's in the natural. But we also need to exercise in the spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we get weak and ineffective. Now, exercising your faith requires that you stretch yourself. You stretch yourself to believe God. Amen. You get out of your comfort zone and seek, reach, go for whatever God is leading you to do. Amen? You go from a spectator to a participant, permitting God to operate in authority and power in your life. Hallelujah. Most instances, when you are a participant, you're doing something active. And when we do something active in the natural, we sweat, don't we? Right? We sweat, some of us more than others, right? So I want your cares, your worries, all of them just to sweat away this morning. Just sweat away this morning, amen, because we're going to be exercising our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. In our text, we read, it's a very familiar story to most of us. We've read this story over and over, but there's some things I want us to look at, some points that we can talk about so we don't overlook them. It's important that we apply the details that the Word of God teaches us so that when we live this life that we've been called to, we can use our faith as we walk this walk that we're in. We need to use our faith. Come on. We're going to miss great deals that God has given us if we don't use our faith. You are more than a dust bunny. You started as a dust bunny, but you are more than a dust bunny today. You have the power, the authority, the love of God in your life. To shed abroad, to go everywhere with, to use everywhere. All right? Let's look at verse number 1 again. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. So Jesus entered the city of Capernaum, which was the hometown of his disciple Simon Peter. Now I presume that the house in reference here in the scripture, it where Jesus was found, was most likely Peter's house. A lot of the biblical or Bible theologies or theologians or scholars believe the same. It was Peter's house. And we know Peter was a believer. He was one of Jesus' disciples who had been following Jesus everywhere. So when the two men came to Peter's house, Jesus went inside with him. Listen, folks, if you want Jesus in your house, you must first believe and then let him come in. Amen. Amen? Let him come in. Jesus doesn't go to anybody's house. He doesn't go to anybody's house. He must be welcomed there. Amen? So, for example, I'm sure there's nicer homes in Capernaum than Peter's. I'm sure there were a lot of people that made more money than Peter made. But he didn't go to any of their homes. He went to the house of his follower. He went to the place where he was welcomed. Amen. It doesn't matter to Jesus how much money you have. It doesn't matter how famous or successful you are. It doesn't matter what position you hold in this life. The only thing that matters is Jesus in your house. Amen. It's Jesus in your house. In Turning Point Church, I ask you the question, do we have Jesus in our house? Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Let me ask you again. I didn't get enough response. I want to ask you again, do we have Jesus in our house? Is Jesus in Turning Point Church? Is he at Turning Point Church? Amen. Amen. Okay. We're not the biggest church. We're not the best known. We don't have some of the programs other churches do. But I'm here to tell you those facts aren't as important as having Jesus here. We need Jesus in the house, and we want Jesus to always lead us, right? Amen. To always lead us. So just come on, shout, praise God, do something, hallelujah. Do something. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the house. Right. Now, news traveled fast about Jesus being in Peter's house, and before long, they were there. Verse 2, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. and he preached the word to them. Now, obviously, many folks arrived wanting to see and to hear Jesus so that the house was filled quickly. The house was filled. Peter's house couldn't hold any more. People had to gather outside by the door. And folks, I believe we need to let people know that Jesus is in this house. Amen. Amen. How can we keep silent or still about this? You can't. You absolutely can't without being guilty, feeling guilty. Guilt doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. When people found out Jesus was in Peter's house, the house overflowed. The house overflowed. There was not enough room for those who wanted to see him. I believe when we let people know that Jesus is resident at Turning Point Church, many will want to come, listen to his message, and receive his ministry. Amen. So how can we keep silent, folks, when Jesus is in the house? I hope each one of us has been touched by Jesus since we've been coming to this place. Amen. It's without question. I know Jesus is in the house. And I hope that it's with you that you know Jesus is in the house. Let's go to verse 3 and 4. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now, take notice of this situation. There were four men, four guys, who had a friend that was a paralytic. This paralytic needed to see Jesus. So these men gathered him up, walked through the narrow, winding streets of the city, only to discover that when they finally reached this house, they couldn't get in. Many had filled the house already. They were even hanging outside the door. There was no way for these men to get close to the Lord. But they stayed determined. Their friend needed Jesus. Their friend needed Jesus. I can't help but believe these friends must have been Christians. They must have been Christians to put out all that effort. And they showed love and compassion for this paralytic man to bring him where he needed to be. Now, we don't know if the paralytic was born crippled or became that way through sickness or an accident. The Bible doesn't say. But all these men knew was that they needed to get to Jesus. They needed to get to Jesus. Now, don't you imagine that most folks are aware of what they're lacking, or what their needs really are? I believe that's true. Most of the time in counseling, if you allow people to talk about their problem, their situation, they realize the majority of people will recognize what the situation is and make a plan to get out of it. And the counselor just sits there grinning. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. People really do know what they need. They may not want to admit it. They may not want it. But they know what they need. And when people get desperate enough, they realize they need to look for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's, you know, there's saying, there's no atheist in a foxhole. When they're shooting bullets at you, you're going to ask for God. You're going to look for God. You're going to call out for God. There's no atheist in a foxhole. Amen? Hallelujah. People know what they need, okay? When 9/11 took place and other disasters have occurred, the churches fill up the next Sunday. People know what they need. It's a scary situation that brings a lot of people to the Lord. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so, as long as they come. Now, these four men couldn't get to Jesus using ordinary access, so they decided to climb on the top of the house and remove the roof. Understand that this, carrying a full-grown man on a pallet, on narrow steps built on the side of the house, on a sharp angle, was not an easy task. Wasn't an easy task. A giant obstacle. Well, it was before them, but they weren't deterred. If the crowd wouldn't allow them to come see Jesus, then they would make their own way. They would do something about it. Once on the rooftop, the men dug through the mud and the straw until they could see Jesus and down below. And do you suppose they might have thought at one point, this is crazy. This will be expensive to repair. This is not going to work. Yeah. Even when their logic was shouting things like that, they kept doing. They kept working until that hole in the roof was big enough to let down this man on a pallet. Now, a roof is a metaphor for a limit or a limitation. In the business world, when you have advanced as far as you can go, it is said that you have reached your ceiling. In some cases, being held back because of a prejudice, they describe that as a glass ceiling. That is your limit. You can't go beyond that. No matter how hard you work or how qualified you may feel that you are, you've reached your limit, your ceiling. About 10 years ago, we found out that the United States has a debt ceiling. This is as high as we're willing to allow the country's debt to go. But then Congress altered that ceiling. So now we have a new debt ceiling in place, right? Which, again, is designed to limit the national debt. In aeronautics world, the ceiling is the maximum altitude that an airplane can travel. If a plane should go above that ceiling, then the engines do not receive enough airflow to function. And, folks, there's a stall, maybe ultimately a crash. It's a ceiling. It's a limit. In this story, the ceiling is the roof. It's the roof. It's their limit. They couldn't go past that limit, right? But these four men decided to remove the roof. They decided to alter the limit. Amen. They decided that. Going to alter the limit, even though they might have been thinking, this is crazy. This is expensive. This is too hard, and it will take too long. What will people say? What will people think? I'm sure Satan was repeating, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. There are all kinds of types and shapes of roofs or ceilings in our lives. But faith is challenging us. Faith is challenging us. Faith is encouraging us over and over again to step out of your limits and into the impossible. Step out of your limits into the impossible. Step out of your limits into the impossible. Amen. Amen. Crazy is stepping out of a perfectly safe boat in the middle of a frightful storm, but faith shouts, I can walk on the water with Jesus. Crazy is expecting 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people. But faith shouts, Jesus will provide. Amen. Amen? Faith operates in the realm of the crazy, the unbelievable, and the impossible. Yes. Hallelujah. That's where we need to tear the roof off your life. That's exactly where we need to be. The Apostle Paul put it this way, I have become a fool for Christ. I've become a fool for Christ. Today, determine in yourself to act like a fool. Amen. Well, I can't do that. I'm dignified. Baloney. Act like a fool for Jesus. For Jesus. Amen? He calls you and me to tear the roofs off our life, stepping into the things of God, knowing He will make a way, He will accomplish His purposes in you and in me this morning. Amen. 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 In the natural sense, the destruction of the roof must have cost quite a bit to repair. Poor Peter. Poor Peter. Who's going to pay him back for a new roof? You know the wife was talking to him. However, I'm sure that Peter and you and I recognize that there is no cost too great to receive what we need from Jesus. Amen? Now, let's bring this down to where the rubber meets the road. We face various decisions and challenges in our lives. Perhaps on a daily basis. For instance, maybe some of them are monetary. God, I can't pay my electric bill this month. Jesus, I don't have enough for the mortgage. Jesus, I'm unable to provide for my family. Folks, today is the time to tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. Tear the roof off of your money problems. Amen. God says He will provide financially for you. It's a promise He makes if you give faithfully to Him and the church. It's promised. Tear the roof off your marital issues. Tear the roof off your marital issues. If you follow God's directives for husband and wives, He will restore your marriage. He will restore your marriage. Tear the roof off your illness, your disease, your infirmity. Simply believe the word is true when it declares, by His stripes you are healed. Amen. Amen? By His stripes you are healed. Tear the roof off your addictions as you embrace the fact that Jesus is a deliverer. Amen? Jesus provides, He heals, He saves, He restores, and He delivers. He does all those things. And through His Word, you can tear the roof off of any problem by simply being obedient and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. In the natural, tearing the roof off a house is hard work. It would be hard work. There's much effort, it's laborious, there's a lot of sweat involved, probably some cuts and splinters, maybe some hurts. Remember when I built my shop in Louisiana, I had to hit my hand with a hammer before I could get proficient with it. After that, I wouldn't hit my hand again. To be sure, the roof did not come off easily. It took endurance and it took time. In the spiritual realm, it's no different. Tearing off a spiritual roof will also be difficult and time-consuming. However, be assured that the spiritual roof will gradually be removed as you daily walk with God in our obedience to His calling. Amen? The roof can be destroyed as you spend personal prayer time with Him. And sometimes the roof is removed when you endure those trials and hardships with a new attitude. An attitude that will affect your faith. And you will say, what does this mess I'm in matter? What does it matter? Amen? It shall be removed. God's got me. God's got me. Hallelujah. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. My God will never leave me nor forsake me. Have you ever heard that verse? Amen. We've heard it. He has made me more than a conqueror. Amen. All these promises we have. All these promises. Thank you, Jesus. What activates those promises? Faith. Faith. Not dead faith. Active faith. So maybe you need to tear the roof off of sin today. In the Bible, I'm looking at everybody so nobody thinks I'm picking on just one. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is described as water, sometimes even rain. However, it's difficult for many Christians to feel the rain of the Holy Spirit because they live under a roof of sin. It results in a barrier of iniquity between them and God. So when the power of God is moving, they sit unaffected. They didn't receive the rain. The roof of sin stifles any response. Tear off the roof. Tear off the roof. Simply repent. Hallelujah. Get things right with God. And receive what God's got for you. Tear the roof off. What about a roof of doubt? A roof of doubt. Faith says I should have no doubt in my life. None. When those men in our text were tearing off the roof of that house, they certainly had at least a twinge of doubt. They wouldn't be men if that wasn't so. Amen? Doubt always tries to worm its way into the recesses of our mind. It will stop us from doing what God wants us to do. Amen? No, doubt didn't stop these four men. Even though they might have experienced it, they said no to it. It didn't stop these four men. They kept tearing off the roof. This morning, do you hear the voice of Satan saying, it won't work for you. It won't work for you. It won't work for you. Pants on fire. You probably, I won't say probably, but some of you are thinking, what if I step out to witness and nobody listens? What if I become faithful in tithing and end up financially worse than I was? What if I reach out for Jesus this morning and don't receive? What if I pray for healing and it doesn't happen? Just keep exercising your faith. Be steady. Be deliberate. Just keep standing in faith. Doubt results in inaction. Faith spurs us into motion. Let me repeat that. Doubt results in inaction. faith spurs us into motion. So, brothers and sisters, tear off the roof of doubt today. Quit doubting Jesus. Quit doubting the Lord. Now, when we began this morning, I told you to raise your expectations, to activate your faith. Okay? I'm going to give you some examples. Don't say, did you hear that? Don't say, what will happen if I start witnessing to my friends? Say, I'm going to share Jesus wherever I go. Amen. Don't say, I can't tithe and offer, I have too many bills. Say, if I do what the Lord teaches, I know He'll provide for me. Don't say, I don't know about this Holy Spirit thing. Say, I'm going to pursue Jesus until I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Don't say, I'm not going up front. Everybody looks at me and nothing happens anyway. Say, I'm going up front because Jesus wants to minister to me. Amen. Don't say, my family's lost. Say, God's going to save them all.
Amen.
All of them. Don't say, I've fallen too far away for Jesus to reach me. Say, His grace is sufficient for me. Don't say, there's no sense praying. Nothing good will happen. Say, thank you, Jesus, for your supernatural strength. I know I will receive what I need from you today.
Yes.
Now, you see the difference?
Yes.
One's using faith, folks. Exercising faith. Tearing the roof off. I want to tear the roof off of my life. Are you with me? Trying to be a good cheerleader this morning, but you all haven't picked up on it. Look at verse 5 in our text. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, sons, your sins are forgiven you. He forgave every sin. He performed a miracle and healed this man. Come on, saints. This is an exciting story. They could make a movie out of this. And everybody would say, oh, that was such a good movie. Maybe you're like these four men in this story, and you're helping someone tear the roof off of their house, their situation. Maybe, well, thank you for your love, commitment, if that's you. Maybe you know someone you could take by the hand, someone that's going through a hard time, and you could lead them to Jesus. God wants to do a work in your heart, in this church, my heart. And what a wonderful example of four men going beyond the call of duty to help someone in need. Years ago, Bonnie preached a message called Stretcher Bearers. Are you a stretcher bearer Christian? Are you willing to help others come to Jesus? What do you have to do? You need to tear the roof off, folks. Every one of you have set limits on what you will do and what you won't do. I doubt any of them are from God. Most of our limits are self-inflicted. Inflicted being there our own. God wants to take them off today. He wants to tear the roof up. He wants you to quit acting like yourself and act like a Christian. Well, I think we need to tear the roof off of our finances. I think we need to tear the roof off of our sicknesses. I think we need to tear the roof off our impossible situations. And I think we need to tear the roof off our unsaved loved ones. I think we need to tear the roof off of our testimony. Need to tear the roof off of our church. I think we need to tear the roof off of anything that would keep us from receiving revival. Because, folks, we need revival. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm trying to be your pastor. I can look around this room and tell you we need revival. So often we look like we've been baptized in lemon juice. And yet we serve a God of the impossible. And he said, I'm taking Jesus home and I'm sending the Holy Spirit to empower my kids so that they can act like Jesus. And yet we act like ourselves. Greater works you would do than I have done. Tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. Has anybody already torn the roof off? Tear the roof off. Years ago, I made this comment. I don't know if it's true or not. Let's just say it's from the book of Jerry. When I was a little kid, probably through the fourth or fifth grade, I was a different person than I am today in the natural. I was highly active in school, a straight A student. Didn't meet a stranger. PTA and other things would always be using me because I could get up in front and talk, do whatever. I sang in church. Little teeny guy, and I'm singing in church. I could do all these things. But then the good old world got a hold of me, and I started doubting everything I did. Questioning everything that I did in the past, and I changed into something less than what I was when I was younger. And I made this statement that I believed the true person in you and in me is that little guy before the world hammered us into some shape that we may not even recognize. Y'all with me? When my grandkids, all of them, one day they'll be different than they are today. Amen. That's a shame. That's a world of doubt, a world without God, a world that wants to destroy rather than build, create, love, support. So I want you to tear the roof off. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. I want you to be a kid again. Some of you were real rascals. You need to be a rascal again. A good one, but a rascal. Some of you in here were playing practical jokes on everybody. And now you couldn't crack a smile. Come on. Tear the roof off, folks. You weren't made to be a block of ice. You were made to have emotions. You weren't made to have a hard heart. You were made to have a soft heart, a pliable heart that God could get a hold of. Yes. Hallelujah. Am I the only one who feels this way? Tear the roof off. I want you to come up in front. Come on, push them chairs back and y'all come up front. Let's pray. Let's break these things off of us today. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Even asking you to come up front here, some of you regretting it. Oh, no, not me. I love my chair. I love my chair. I don't like to go up front. Woo. Now, I feel sorry for any of you sitting back there. Because all these folks need to get on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Folks, I don't expect you to have an overnight change, but I expect you to grab hold of the desire to be everything God wants you to be. This world has such an influence on us. Such an influence that without knowing it, Satan has his way. The pressures of society, they change us. I want you to be that little kid, seriously. I don't want you to be juvenile. I want you to have the spirit of that little kid. Let me say it that way. The scripture Jesus said that you have to have the faith of a little child to enter into heaven. Childlike faith. Tear the roof off. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and most of them are some form or another miserable in some area of their life. Made bad choices. things didn't work out like they thought. To don't know what to do. It's time to tear the roof off. To have all of God. All of God. You know, Jesus was so dynamic because the Bible says he had the Holy Spirit without measure. Without measure. You know, Adam had such a brain because all of his brain worked. Mankind works 14% of our brain. We're very limited in what we allow the Holy Spirit to do in our lives. But Jesus had the Spirit without measure. 100% of Jesus had the Spirit. We've got a long way to go. We've got a long way to grow. What have you done to increase your faith? What have you done for a closer walk with God? Sunday morning isn't enough. No matter how good worship is, and worship was great this morning, no matter how good Pastor Jerry's message is, Sunday morning isn't enough. It's a daily walk with Jesus Christ. Can we pray? Find someone, put your hand on their shoulder. Everybody touching somebody? Lord Jesus, you love us. So much you love us, Lord. And Lord, your plans are great and mighty, but they need our cooperation. Lord, you give us faith, but we fill our hearts with doubt. You give us pleasures beyond what we can imagine. Blessings that we can't even mention them all. But yet we let some little old thing that the world offers draw us away into unbelief even. Jesus, we're here today to be honest with you and to tear the roof off of our lives, Lord God. Lord, you have more for us than what we're experiencing. But it's going to take a commitment to walk a walk of faith, to exercise that faith whenever we're in situations of that we don't know what to do, that we don't know what you would have us do. Lord, we've got to grow in our faith. We've got to exercise that faith and use it, Lord. So, Lord, work in us today. Work in us tomorrow. Work in us Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Lord. Work in us to grow us and take us out of this turtle shell we live in and bring us into your glory, Lord. Into your glory. You have called us to help people, to be that stretcher bearer Christian. Lord God, equip us for that call. And Lord God, thank you that you're doing a work in us today. Lord, we're seriously going to sit down and think about the roofs in our lives. The ceilings that we've butt up against. And Lord, give us the determination to break through those things in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, this is your day. We are your people. And I ask you to bring us into that glory, Lord God. Let the Holy Spirit be active as our partner in our daily walk with you. So, Lord, take us now where we've been, Lord, to where you want us to be. And, Lord God, we give you the thanks. We give you the praise. And from now on, we're going to be different in your kingdom. And, Lord God, be used by you and the Holy Spirit in a mighty way. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, we worship you, and we love our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen, 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 amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.